why is the periodic table important, not just to chemists and physicists, but to all of us?
The periodic table is a big chart that lists the 118 known elements that make up every material thing, so far as we know, in our universe. All matter surrounding you and me is made up of these 118 different elements. It is important to us because all human operations are related to the transitions and the interactions of matter. And the periodic table is the fundamental basis of the science of chemistry, which describes how all of these 118 elements interact with each other to make up the world around us.
Let me make kind of a cultural observation here. There almost seems to be a sacred sort of respect for the periodic table. Do you find that in chemistry and physics with the folks that you work with and see?
Of course. It's the fundamental basis of chemistry. It's the foundation upon which all chemists and all scientists who use chemistry, nutritionists, agricultural people, and so on, find their basis in the periodic table.
So Dmitry Mendeleev introduced and published his version of the periodic table in 1871, but he didn't just pluck this out of thin air. He was working on a lot of knowledge that had been gained through the centuries.
Oh yes. In fact, this knowledge goes all the way back to Empedocles, a Greek person who lived in Sicily in about 460 B.C., and he was the first person we know of that claimed that there were such things as elements: earth, air, fire, and water.
Did he make any attempt to create any kind of order with those elements?
Oh, yes. There is a very, very important scheme based upon those four elements that lasted well into the Middle Ages in our society.
And you say at some point during the Middle Ages, the alchemists came along?
Yes, well, much earlier than the Middle Ages, the alchemists, these strange people hunting a way to transform ordinary matter into gold, these strange people began doing what you and I would call today elementary chemical experiments. They roasted, they boiled, they distilled, they dyed, they bleached. They did all these wonderful manipulations. From way back, probably from early Egyptian times, up till about 1400 in our society.
So what they were trying to accomplish was not necessarily sound scientifically. We were able to learn a lot from their techniques.
Oh, yes, their techniques were the things that made it possible for us to discover the elements that we know today.
So let's fast forward in time a little bit to Antoine Lavoisier.
Yes, and Lavoisier was a French scientist who's recognized generally as the father of chemistry. And what occurred was by the time Lavoisier came along in 1789, 21 elements were known, and Lavoisier gave us techniques in order to discover many, many more, and as such got his title of Father of Chemistry.
But that title of Father of Chemistry didn't spare him his life.
No, he was a member of the French nobility, and of course he was executed in the Revolution.
So who is John Newlands, and how does he fit into this story?
John Newlands came along about 100 years after Lavoisier, and at that time, we now knew 62 elements because we used Lavoisier's insights and the techniques of the alchemists to isolate and identify these 62 elements. And John Newlands arranged these elements in the order of their weight. And what he found was that number 2 in the order resembled element number 9, resembled element 16, resembled element 23, resembled element 30. In other words, he discovered that every eighth element resembles the one before it. And so he arranged a chart with 8 columns in it that showed these recurring familiarity schemes. In other words, he said there's periodicity. Every eighth element resembles the element before it. And he therefore gave us the word periodic, which means that it happens once every 8 times, and therefore the period was an octave.
And you mentioned an octave, which is those familiar with music are familiar with what an octave is, which is also 8 notes.
Yeah, every 8th time.
And how aware was he that his discovery was very much in tune with music and music theory?
Yes. Well, Newlands was a classical scholar also, and he knew his Greek very, very well. And the Greeks long, long time ago talked about the music of the spheres. And so he knew this connection very well.
Now we get to the gentleman who's often referred to as the father of the periodic table. This is Dmitri Mendeleev. What do we know about Dmitri Mendeleev?
Well, we know that Dmitri Mendeleev built upon what John Newlands had observed. In fact, very, very quickly, about 7 years after John Newlands. And he gives us the periodic table pretty much in the arrangement that we use it today. He put the 66 known elements of that time in 15 columns. And it's a wonderful story because he, on his train trips, had a series of 66 cards, and each card was labeled with one of the elements. And he played, as you will, a game of solitaire in which he tried different arrangements of it, and he finally arrived at the arrangement that we today call the periodic table. So his card playing on his train trips really gave us something monumental.
He wasn't the only one coming to the same conclusion at that time.
No, there was a chap by the name of Lothar Meyer. So far as we know, a German, Mendeleev, of course, was Russian, but Lothar Meyer, a German, was also thinking very, very much along the same lines and had come to very similar conclusions as Mendeleev. But Mendeleev had better publicity, and his publicity gave him the prime position.
So is Lothar Meyer then, to a certain extent, cast more into the shadows of the history of chemistry? Or does he also have a place that we would suggest is even or equal to the Mendeleev?
Well, I would say that he is not only known for a periodic table, but he did many, many very important advances in chemistry. So it is not just the periodic table that we refer to when we refer to Lothar Meyer. We refer to much of his other chemistry work. So we can say that as far as the periodic table, he does dwell in the shadow of Mendeleev, but for his other accomplishments, he's very much a star himself.
So we shouldn't feel too sorry for him?
Absolutely not.
Now we have 1871. Mendeleev has published his periodic table. How is that received within the fields of physics and chemistry?
Instantaneously, because it did such a wonderful job of making prediction after prediction after prediction of what we would discover in chemistry and in certain areas of physics.
Will the periodic table ever be completely filled out?
Probably not. We're up to 118 now, including 117, which is Tennessine. If you take a look at today's periodic table, you're going to see something very intriguing. You're going to see that there is a wonderful column in the table known as column 17, and in it, listen to me carefully, there is fluorine, chlorine, bromine, iodine, astatine, and tennessine, element 117, the latest element to be added to the periodic table.
And if it sounds like Tennessee the state, you're on to something.
Indeed we are. And there is the prospect of 119, 120, and so on. But as these elements get heavier, have a larger number, they don't last very long, and you have to be very, very quick to grab them and to identify them.
You're speaking in terms of milliseconds.
Oh, yes, milliseconds, very, very. And probably when you get out to 124, you're talking about microseconds.
Now, you have a poster of the periodic table. We saw a facsimile of Mendeleev's table. Obviously, the periodic table is important to you as well.
Oh, indeed. I'm an inorganic chemist, and therefore I deal with all of the elements in the periodic system. Organic chemists deal with the millions and millions of compounds built upon the carbon atom. And inorganic chemistry, my discipline, deals with all the rest.
How soon will we see another element on the periodic table?
My prediction is 3 to 5 years. And we will probably not see 119. We will see 120, because Mother Nature favors even numbers.
Is that true, even on the periodic table?
Yes. The even number elements are generally more abundant than the odd numbered elements.
Do we know why?
Yes, because the physicists have told us that in the nucleus of atoms, there are neutrons and protons, and these neutrons, when they pair up, and the protons, when they pair up, give us stability. And therefore, the name is pair, and when you think about a pair, you do indeed think of even numbers.
Dr. Schweitzer, thank you so much for helping us understand this.
My privilege.